Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Hey, the Pirates find another way to win at 73-67. What a great night overall. It's not how you start, I guess. The Pirates are the theme for this year. It's how you finish. Pirates win at 73-67. Bubba, we've got a great show. You've outdone yourself. Two of my favorites, and they're on the screen right now, and it means a lot to have them on, as the Pirates are now not one, not two, but 5-0. 5-0, guys. Hard to believe, Bubba.
Yeah, fired up about the 5-0 start for sure. They made a sweat tonight, but like we were talking off the air, this is a game in previous years that we would have lost. So tip of the cap to Joe Dooley and company finding a way to get it done once again. And like you said, welcome in to East Carolina letter winners, Neil Punt and Tony Parham.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Absolutely. I was thinking about you guys earlier today, you two, and obviously I wanted to start the show. Obviously, we're going to break down the game. Pirates, again, a big victor tonight, 73-67, 5-0. But I want to get your thoughts as former players, what you're witnessing unfolding. I don't know who wants to start, but it's got to feel special to see this team playing. They're not playing their best, but they're playing enough and finding ways to win and being 5-0, the best in the state.
Well, I think this goes along with the times, you know, with the virus and everything coming about, just finding a way to navigate life and other aspects. And it seems like this group of Pirates are finding a way to navigate games where, like we stated before we came on, that typically we would have found a way to lose the game. You see them coming together where it showed in times during the game where they could just separated and folded their hats and be like, this is not our night. But they dug in, did the things they needed to do to pull out a victory.
Absolutely. 5-0 is 5-0. You know, no matter who you've played, you've won them all. You've won all of the ones that are in front of you. And like Tony said, you know, we've had a game cancel. We've been able to add a game with Old Dominion. You know, I was never 5-0 at East Carolina, so we can see the talent levels there. Joe Dooley can always recruit. You know, I said 3 years ago when we first got hired, I said he's going to bring in talent if we can just give him the time. So the shame is with everything that's going on. I know that if we could have fans in Minji's right now, we'd be seeing record numbers in there, you know, and it'd be hype and going crazy. And that's really the saddest thing I feel for the players, because the work they've put in, and Coach Dooley as well. You know, it'd be great if they could really be in there.
You know what's funny, guys? It's the very fact I joke with the members of the media, and I've told these guys, we did a show together, that how ironic would it be? I've said all along, I put my butt on the line. I said year three would be huge for Dooley. I've been saying that since he was hired. So far, I'm looking good so far, but it's not about me. I really don't care about me. But now, isn't it weird how you see where this team is evolving? They're finally coming together, and there's no fans. I said, well, I guess TV, we'll just watch everything on TV or listen to Jeff Charles on the radio and Cy Seymour. If that's what it takes for this Pirates team to finally get to the top of the mountain again. I mean, I remember, guys, being a sophomore at East Carolina, going to Winston-Salem, playing on watching Lester Lyons and the guys play in the tournament in 93. I was one of 50 lucky students. I won the lottery, watched the game. I thought, man, here we are, 93, won't be long, and we'll be right back in the big dance. And it's another and another year and another year and another decade has gone by. And so to see this program, I love college basketball, and I know how much you guys love the game. I've always said I can't understand why we're not better in college basketball when we were living in the state of North Carolina, Princeton and Greenville. There's a lot of great players in Pitt County alone. That could come to Greenville. I just want to get you guys' thought about where the program's going, and we'll do it here in a few minutes. We'll break down the game.
Well, I love the position that the program is in now. I mean, it, like you said, typically it was going to take about 3 years for him to get his players in and weed out the players that didn't really want to be here. You're starting to see that, you know, his players are here. They're buying into what he's saying. They're believing what he's saying. But one thing I think – helps this team even without the fans, because I mean, Neil, you know, playing in Minji's, I will put Minji's up against any place in the country. once that crowd starts rocking, they get behind you, it just gives you a whole different type of feel. But being that you don't have that and they're finding a way to generate their own energy and pull out games like this, like we said, typically in the past they would have lost, shows a lot of character in the team and what's going on.
Yeah, I would echo that. You know, the fact that they're 5-0, they've played, you know, the majority of their games other than one's been at home, and they found a way to, you know, have leads, fall behind, come back. You know, they made it interesting tonight, but it just shows you, you know, I mean, they're, you know, I'm going to, you know, Jaden, we talked about 2 years ago, Jaden, and, you know, I always said someday Jaden's going to be, you know, we're going to look at Jaden. So you remember when Jaden was the only thing the team had, you know, and now you look at, you know, I'm going to pump up my Texas boy, you know, Tristan Newton. I love that guy from El Paso. And now they got the guy coming in next week or next year from here, you know, the 6'7" kid that's a dead shooter. So they're getting some really good players that are, you know, here in Texas is a great basketball state. So they're recruiting all over to get those guys.
And the fact, guys, another thing that's great to mention, you know how you hear about coaches, they say, well, this guy is great in this area over here, or this guy is great over here or up here or down here. Man, Joe Dooley, I think he knows every single high school in America, not to mention all the great coaches he has, as far as every single one of those coaches is a great recruiter. And think that it's almost an unfair advantage that we have with all the coaches, all the people they know, and all the contacts. Every single member of the media that we have on nationally brags about Joe Dooley. I don't think they're just being nice because they're on our show.
Joe Dooley was able to recruit me from Minnesota, so that tells you something. You know, he saw me, and I only went on one visit. I went to East Carolina, and that's it, you know. And there's some memories of, you know, how that visit went. You know, I was down on Fifth Street struggling a little bit, but, hey, it worked. It got me there, so we're all good.
Right. And, you know, I heard Joe talking about the story the other day on his show. This was back in the day when you could sign a national letter of intent on the spot. And I actually signed my national letter of intent at a gas station in Washington, D.C. He came up, he met me because he knew a close friend of mine that was working me out, Troy Weaver, who's now the assistant GM. I mean, he's actually the GM of the Detroit Pistons now. He used to work me out. He knew Troy. They got a good relationship. And I had schools like St. Joe's, GW, Richmond. But I took one visit to East Carolina to talk, and I talked to Coach Dooley numerous times. Coach Payne came to the house, and that was it.
That's really cool, and the rest is history. And the fact that you guys were kind of another thing I thought about with both of you coming on, it was kind of unfortunate because Coach Dooley, during your era, when he had the season where it's like that season – before he's fired, a whole bunch of injuries, and then he gets fired. Now it's like, this is weird, but it seems like there's been so many years that have passed. I understand all that, but it's kind of weird. It seems like he just picked up where he left off. It's almost like, in some respects, like that he never left. You know, how much he loves Greenville, the program. He's such a great recruiter. And I think that, I don't know this to be the fact, but my gut feeling is he was really upset the way things happened and unfolded and getting fired. And he has a chip even bigger than the players and everybody else because he knew he was known as something big here. And then it just, like the carpet, it just got pulled right out from under him.
Right. Well, one thing I can say about Coach, he's a competitor. I mean, even when we were back in our day, we were playing, he would challenge us to shooting games, hated to lose and things like that. But I believe he has a chip on his shoulder because of the way the first go around ended. It wasn't the way he wanted it to end. He knew things could be a whole lot better here. I mean, if you look at it, he's near a hotbed of basketball. I mean, you have South Carolina, Georgia, Florida to the south. You have Maryland, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, you know, all within close distance. And there's a lot of talent in those areas. And that was one of the things that drove me to East Carolina because, you know, being from the Washington, D.C. area, it was only a 4.5-hour drive. So it wasn't nothing for my parents to come down and see me. But, you know, the exposure now is getting big because now games are on ESPN and things of that nature. But, you know, that's an attractive draw being in an American conference, knowing that you're on ESPN, but also knowing that your family is within driving distance to come and see you. So he's in a nice area to recruit. It's just a matter of getting those recruits to basically buy in and see the vision that he has.
Yeah, and Coach has talked to this before. You know, he went from being in a one-bid league. Now we're in a 3-4-5-bid league. So that's a huge advantage in recruiting as well. You don't have to win the regular season and then win the tournament. You know, if you have a heck of a regular season, you're going to get in when you're in the American versus being in the Colonial or, you know, in the Atlantic Sun where he was down at Florida Gulf Coast. So, you know, he always said to, you know, to harp on what Tony was saying when in his initial press conference, he said, I really want to recruit this I-95 corridor. And, you know, he's done that and he's gone beyond that too. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time. And I said this all along. I'm just excited for fans to be able to get in there and start supporting these guys. I feel that's when it's really, really going to take off once we can get into Minji's and we have that home court advantage again.
No question. I'll tell you one thing about the Wilmington game on Monday night. I want to get your guys' thoughts. I want to get Bubba in too, breaking down the game. But I was thinking about former players, so many great War on the Shore memories. But, you know, I know that maybe they get up because it's East Carolina, and we talked about that on our previous show, I think for the overtime, about how they probably get sick and tired of hearing about East Carolina because of so many people living in Wilmington and all over the East Coast and Eastern North Carolina. But that was a great win. And they fought back and they fought again tonight. I guess that's one of the common themes for this club is this second half ball club, how they just find a way to win in the second half. And they're not starting. They did Monday night, but overall they haven't started the way they probably would like to. But I guess the old adage, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. I mean, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I mean, like I said, this year is going to be different than any other year in basketball history. You know, it's hard for 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to generate their own energy. I know when I was playing, I fed off the crowd. And, you know, I don't know how I would have responded playing in these times in an empty gym, because it's just like it's practice against another team. It's nothing in there, no noise, and you just have to generate your own enthusiasm, your own energy. And that's one thing that I see coming from the bench. They're into the game. They're cheering the guys on. It's a lot of unselfish plays. Now, you know, people don't care who scores as long as we're winning.
I know for me personally, you know, and I'm sure Coach has changed a little bit in his practices and things like that. But practice back in the 90s was harder than the games. And I think you see that now, you know, when they fall behind and they struggle at the end of the game, they realize we just went through a 3-hour practice of doing this where he was on us and beating us down and this is nothing. So it's, you know, he's a professional. He's a consummate professional. It's why he's well known. He's got a national championship for a reason.
I wanted to ask you, I'm glad you brought that up, Neil, the very fact of being the head, the associate coach in Kansas with Bill Self. That's got to breed some confidence in him, knowing that he's with a program, a blue blood, and that look, goes to Florida Gulf Coast. He takes them to the big dance. And I mean, East Carolina, it should be, I'm not saying it's a piece of cake, but in other words, he knows the blueprint of what it takes to get that level.
Absolutely. He won a first four game at Florida Gulf Coast, you know, up in Dayton, I believe it is where they have that. So, you know, they were high flying. He took over a program that, you know, would they go to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 or something with their coach that went over to USC, and he kept them right going. If you look at Florida Gulf Coast now, they've taken a step or two back since Coach left, and we've taken those steps forwards. That tells you what kind of coach he is.
Right. I just like to jump in on that. One thing I can say about Coach, it seemed like he grew up with us his first go around. You know, he wasn't that much older than us. I mean, yeah, he was assistant. He knew, Coach knows his X and O's, but it's like he grew up and learned with us. That time that he spent with Kansas, it really, I think it gave him a different outlook and, you know, a different aspect on how you can do things better. Especially, you know, learning from somebody like Bill Self. I mean, one of the best coaches in America right now. And you actually was with this guy, I want to say, was it about 10 years, something like that? I know it was a long time.
I think it was 12.
Yeah, it was a long time. So you sitting up there and you're learning from one of the best. Now you venture out on your own. You take a program that hasn't been doing well in Florida Gulf Coast and then turn them into the darlings of the tournament for a year. And then you decide to, you know, take on another challenge and come back home to see if you can turn East Carolina around. And you just bring in all those experiences back, which gives me confidence that it'll be sooner rather than later that East Carolina is near the top of the American.
No question about it.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to make a quick point. I know you want to chime in. It's going to be great, guys, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's going to be great when I can finally meet you guys in person when we're at the big dance. And I can't wait to see I think I'm going to watch you guys more just enjoying it because to see what Coach has done.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I mean, I sat here and every year comes on, I watch the 30 for 30 on Jim Valvano. And one thing his dad said to him when he made the tournament, he said, my bags are packed. So I'm telling Coach right now, when we make the tournament, my bags are packed.
I'm right with you.
Without a doubt.
Go ahead, bro.
Well, Tony, I know you referenced Coach Joe Dooley's radio show from Monday night that I sent you the link to where he gave you a mention and talked about that story that you already shared with our listeners as far as where you signed your scholarship. But just talk about just how awesome that is to, you know, come back and get your degree. One of our loyal viewers and listeners, Johnny Gardner, chimed in saying congrats on the completion of your degree, and what a tremendous accomplishment for you and your family.
It was real big. You know, it's been 21 years since I left school. And I always had it in my mind to go back to school and finish my degree. But it was like the longer I was away, the harder it was for me to go back because I got away. I had kids. I started, you know, working in the school system. And at that time, It was like you had to go back to East Carolina to finish, right? Because I was doing a physical education degree, so I had to go back and do the classroom stuff. I was probably like 9 hours short of graduating. So then the pandemic came around. My wife had me painting the house, putting together furniture. So I guess she got tired of me doing stuff like that. So she said, "Why don't you look back into going to school?" So I called Nita Boyce, because she's always been on me about coming back and finishing school. And she stated that they have this new program, a BSUS program that allows you to tailor your degree to what you're doing. So being that I'm in the school system, it allowed me to take 4 classes, 2 leadership classes. I had to do a research paper and just a class on the BSUS program to finish my degree. And it helped me. I took 2 in the summer and I just finished up my last 2 to have the graduation on December 4th. Like I said, it's been 21 years, but I was afforded the opportunity to go back because of the circumstances. And I just took advantage of it. I mean, it's a huge accomplishment because I said it in an article in the Daily Reflector. Sometimes I felt like a hypocrite talking to my kids, my own kids, and then kids at school telling them you need to finish school. But here I was in a situation where I didn't finish school. So now I can have those conversations and be more confident and tell them, like, look, it took me 21 years, but ultimately I finished.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, congratulations on that. And what you referenced, and that's something I knew East Carolina's big in distance education, but I did not know they had that program as far as tailoring it to what you're currently doing.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I was working in the school system. And so I have a bachelor's in science with a thematic core of educational services and human behavior, which allows me to, in layman terms, do things like be a dean of students and things of that nature in the school system, which I was already doing. But now it affords me the opportunity to make more money because now I have that degree attached to it.
Really proud of you, Tony. I know there are a lot of people out there in Pirate Nation, like myself and Bubba and obviously Johnny. And I know a teammate there with Neil, but it's a huge accomplishment. And I know there's a lot of us that we had, me in particular, I always talk about in East Carolina, I had terrible grades. I wish I could go back and but I probably would do worse. So I've got to go back to school to get my master's. So thanks for the inspiration. And certainly I'm very proud of you. There's, you know, we're all Pirates. And one great thing about our alma mater and certainly with our fan base is it seems like we are a big family. I know that's overused, but it feels like a member of the family when you see that. It just makes me so proud because you can tell how special it is to you and your family. And when you're giving back to the students, that's a big deal. So congratulations on that. And see, it is a great year. We have, you get the degree, the Pirates are off to a great start and a great way to end 2020 for sure.
For sure. Everything's falling in place.
Speaking of bad grades, Tony actually gave me my first nickname in college. He called me 00 because my GPA after my first semester was 007.
So you're like,
you remember that?
I wasn't going to bring that up, Neil.
It's not Neil Punn, it's James Bond.
Somehow I graduated, so it all worked out in the end.
Right. I wasn't going to bring it up. You know, something's supposed to stay in the locker room.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Hey, but no, Neil, since you brought it up, I'm sure Coach Dooley, did he have a word or two for you?
Well, three or four.
Yeah, he might have had a word. Nita was a little upset. Nita did a heck of a job getting me turned around. I was basically on double academic probation. If I hadn't been on a full ride scholarship, I would have been out of school. So basically, Nita, Coach Dooley, they went upstairs and talked to Mike Hamrick and all that stuff and said, hey, basically they said, you got to have a straight B average this spring semester of your freshman year or you're gone. And they, you know, going up there to Nita's office twice a week to do study hall. And they, you know, they worked on us all. So they worked on Tony for 21 years. They had to work on me hard for 3.5, 4 years too. They didn't give up on either one of us.
Sure didn't. That's one thing I can say. They never gave up. I mean, Nita,
absolutely.
I love Nita. Ever since I left school, I stayed in contact with Nita and every time I would contact her, she would say, Tony, are you thinking about school? She always planted that seed in my head and she never let it get away from me. And I love Nita. I text her to this day and tell her, thank you. I love you.
And one of the, Johnny has a question there for Neil, Bubba there, as far as the next game will be Wednesday night against SMU. And he's asking, being that that's your neck of the woods, Neil, you're going to be able to attend the game. Are they allowing fans?
They are allowing fans at SMU. So my son's graduating from the Army. He actually graduated today. He flies back on Monday. And then I have another son who has a high school game on Tuesday. And then my middle schooler has a game on Wednesday. So I likely won't be able to go to the game at SMU. But I am going to try get up to Wichita, or we play down at Tulane and then at Houston. So I'm going to try to get to one of those games on the road.
No question about it. You know, you can look, guys, with the – I think, honestly, if I were not an East Carolina guy looking at, you know, the whole American, there's a lot of good teams, obviously. Houston seems to be the one that is a really tough one for us. But the rest of them seem like, to be honest, that we can have a chance to win every single game beyond there's the Houston game. So, I mean, and we don't – and another good thing about the Houston game – we don't play them until February 3rd. Mm-hmm. So that gives us a long time. It's not like we're playing the very first conference game. We'll have a lot of conference games under our belt before we even play them.
I think we played Tulane twice in like a week or a week and a half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's a good game. It's going to be a tough one, but on the road. But you guys know that Joe Dooley's a competitor, and those guys, even though they haven't played well, we're still 5-0. And that's got to say something going into that first conference game next Wednesday night.
Right, it says a lot. It gives you a whole lot of confidence. And I be talking to a buddy of mine all the time, and we talk about college basketball. And one thing I can say, rankings don't mean anything right now, because whatever advantage that you had, home court advantage, that's all out the window. I mean, you look at a team like Duke. Duke is normally 12 points up before the ball is thrown in the air. But now that there's no fans, the Cameron Crazies are not there to rattle the other team, you know, it comes down to who is more locked in at that particular moment in time that's going to get that win. So the way things are going right now, I feel real confident with East Carolina playing anybody as long as they do the things they're capable of doing and just, you know, stick to the game plan. Because on any given night, anybody can be beaten, and basically all home court advantages is taken away right now.
Absolutely. COVID has leveled the playing field, to say the least, from Power 5 to our Power 6. You look at Coach K's complaining. He's basically saying, you know, let's end the season. Why are we even playing? Because he doesn't have the fans. It's, you know, so he's a hell of a coach. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but you put the Duke mystique, when people would walk in there, like Tony said, you're 12, 14, 15 points down just to start the game. So, you know, it's we're going to move along. And I, you know, you say Houston, we can beat Houston too. Why not? You know, Houston, those kids are going to look at us and say, East Carolina, who's East Carolina? So they're going to come into Greenville. They're going to have a real tough time getting up and getting ready for it. So, you know, we can jump on anybody.
Neil, you brought up something I wanted to get you and Tony, y'all's perspective on regarding Coach K's comments, former players. What's y'all's take on it? Obviously, every situation's different. Each coach has a different thought on that. You heard Coach Dooley in his post-game comments, and we'll hear those here in a few minutes. Coach Dooley was just saying, it's not like we're frontline workers. Yes, we're making sacrifices, but at the end of the day, we're playing basketball. And so what do you guys think? I'll start with you, Neil.
I mean, those kids deserve to play the games. They're still going to school. They're still going to practice. They're going to study hall. They're going to class. You know, they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. And I don't know what I would do if I was there and you don't even know. Like, you know, I didn't even know the Old Dominion game got canceled. You know, they just don't know. Are you going to play? Are you not going to play? And that's all the way up till the tip. You don't know what you're going to do. So the fact that he can keep these kids, you know, motivated and focused and able to have an undefeated record, regardless of who you've played, you know, really says something to the program and the people he's brought in here, the kids he's brought in, the level of class that he's recruiting. Just really says something. So I, if it were me, I'd want to play. Obviously I want to be safe, but you know, I'd want to play. And, you know, you play it to the best and you know, you play the hand that's been dealt.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Neil. I mean, if I was still playing, I would want to play the games. You just have to make sure that you're doing everything that you humanly possibly can to be safe, because not only does it affect you, it affects others. And I would hate to be the cause of why my team could not play. So you have to be real conscious of the people that you're around. Like I said, I would want to play, and I probably just stay in my apartment until it was time to go to practice or go to games. But if you look at it right now, colleges are like a mini NBA bubble because there's nobody on campus. They're by themselves. So they're safer in this environment than they would be if students were around. So as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do and they're staying safe, I don't see why any game should be canceled or the season should be canceled, because I mean, these kids earned it, you know, and I think they're doing a heck of a job doing the things that are necessary to make sure that the season still goes on.
Guys, another thing that comes to mind too, knowing as a guy who has been through where a program didn't have a football team at high school for a year, people that don't know sports that are making decisions about sports. I'm not talking about, obviously, John Gilbert knows a lot. The guys that are – I'm talking about the people that are the presidents, the chancellors, and people that are not. You take a school and you don't have a program for a year. It took us about 4 years to turn that thing around for just one season missed. So keep in mind that not only are we playing for this year in 20 and 21, but the seasons down the line. If you're looking at Dooley, he's trying to build a program. You know, Duke and Carolina and all the other blue bloods, they'll bounce back pretty quick. But he's trying to climb to the mountain. So you start off 5-0, and then all of a sudden say, wait a minute, we got to pause for a few weeks, or we got to cancel the season. I mean, that's crazy. Plus, as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, as a fan, I want to watch my tournament. And then the other thing is the very fact that This could be the year that crazy things have happened with this COVID thing. It might be to our benefit. Who knows? I mean, I really believe this team has the potential, a bubble team for the NIT. I've said it for a long time, or last handful of months. I really believe in Dooley, and I believe in these players. There's a lot of athletes on the team now. And the other thing is, Tony, get your perspective, this Neil too. But it seems like now with this, the current group we have now, before we didn't have the shooters, but now we got guys that really make you scared, because if you're the opposing team, you see a guy with a hand like a Newton, I mean, you could go on and on. And then you have a young kid like Farrakhan, my gosh, she's going to score a lot of points in East Carolina.
Right. I actually text Dooley the day Farrakhan signed, and I said, how did you do it? Because this kid was highly rated coming out of high school, and just to fathom the fact that he would even consider East Carolina. I mean, he told me the story behind it. I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, that shows how relentless he is. He can get players. But I think the players now are afforded the opportunity that we didn't have, you know, with the new practice center and everything attached to the arena. I mean, I sit back and I'm jealous. I'm jealous because we would have to go. We couldn't even go into Minji's and shoot around or do anything like that because volleyball was using it. So we had to go down to the old Christianbury until they actually build the rec center in order for us to go and work out, play 5-on-5. So these kids, you know, they have the code to get in. They call a manager, and I see why they're shooting the ball the way that they're shooting, because you can tell that they're putting in work. I mean, and this is the perfect opportunity because you don't have anything to do around Greenville right now. So you live in a gym. But I think that practice facility has really helped with a lot of things going on, and you can see it showing right now.
Absolutely. Our practice times, Tony, like you said, would change. One week we'd be early, one week we'd be late because we'd have to swap with the girls. And then at graduation or concerts or whatever was going on, we'd be practicing at Rose High School, Connolly High School. We'd be going all over Christianbury. We did a pregame shoot around at the rec center one time, you know, at the student rec center.
We even had a practice what's the school behind Scott Hall, the little middle school. We had a practice over there.
I forgot about that. Yeah. So we were all over the place. I'm surprised we didn't, back when they had basketball courts on College Hill, I'm surprised we didn't practice up there.
That's a good point. But that's, you were talking about earlier about, this league is so great with American, and having having my big screen behind me had the game on, and I was just thinking about that very fact of how far this program has come, the very fact that I can have ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. I've got a 65-inch screen, and I'm watching the Pirates. I was like, man, this is like I was thinking about early the game. I'm upset about the game, but I was going, this is like the Super Bowl for me, because – you guys were playing George Mason, American, the CAA tournament, or maybe WITN. But otherwise, we didn't have, like, now I'm getting spoiled because it's on every – it seems like almost every game is on television now for East Carolina. I mean, who would have ever thought that?
Right. I mean, like I say, I'm jealous because back in my time, just before Neil came, we were always on home team sports, which wasn't really big. I mean, the biggest thing for us was – I forgot who we were playing, but – ESPN2 came and did a game in Greenville, and that was like the biggest thing that happened to us. But just seeing the fact that the guys are afforded the opportunity and being in a bigger conference in the American, you can turn on ESPN every day or go through the app and find the East Carolina game. I have no problems finding the East Carolina game, whereas before I would look, couldn't find it. I would have to search the internet for box scores to see if we won. But it's good. I'm proud to be a Pirate right now, especially with the 5-0 starting, the way things are starting to look.
And that all plays into recruiting. You know, hey, we don't have to go play a game. And, you know, I came from Minnesota. My parents were like, when are we ever going to see him play? You know, we went and played in St. Louis. We went and played up at Wisconsin Green Bay. And it was like, you know, now it's like you can go anywhere in the country as a kid and your whole family can watch you play every game. Mm-hmm.
Now, Tom, you brought up that game that was on ESPN2. Now, was that the George Mason game? Because obviously the George Mason game was on TV, because I know that was a weeknight game that my family and I weren't able to attend, where you banked in the three to win it.
I'm not sure what game it was. I just remember ESPN2 being there, and it was a big thing. I mean, if I can go through the crates and look at the old VHS tapes, I probably can tell you which game it was, but off the top of my head, I don't remember.
But you do remember that Mason game that I'm talking about, right? In Minji's, where he banked in the three?
I remember it down to the final seconds because, you know, playing a Paul Westhead team, they just ran you relentlessly. I mean, you were tied by the 10-minute mark of the first half from all the running. We were up majority of the game. Then it came down to the final minutes, and they started coming back. And the reason I remember is because I made the turnover that allowed them to go down and score to take the lead. And then we come down, we tied up, and then we go down and we foul them. They make one of two free throws with, I think it was like 5 seconds left. They missed the second one. I get an outlet on the wing. I race down the court. Honestly, to this day, I tell everybody I wasn't trying to make the shot. I was trying to draw a foul. And it just so happened that I threw it up. It banked in off the backboard, and we ended up winning by two.
Now, Tony, we've talked about Noah Faircon, what a talent he is, and just what's your take on the Pirate guards as a whole?
I think they're steady, and I think one thing that helps is you know, Coach Dooley being a guard. You can see a lot of his influence on them as far as taking care of the ball, you know, being cognizant of time and score, and basically how to run a team. They're real steady. They're real steady. I don't see anybody trying to do nothing that they can't do. You know, everybody is basically staying in their own little lane. You know, I like the way the guards are looking, because as well as Jalen's playing right now, I mean, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is how well your guards play, how well they protect the ball, how well they shoot the ball is going to determine how many good looks Jalen Gardner gets throughout the course of a game.
Yeah, and Tristan Newton, 8 assists tonight. That's two consecutive games where I think he had 8 assists and only a couple turnovers, and did such a tremendous job last year, an assist to turnover ratio, and a freshman in the American of nearly 2-1. So he's well on his way there again, and we haven't even seen him shoot the ball the way he can today.
Right. That's big in college basketball, how well your assist to turnover ratio is. I mean, it shows that he values the basketball. He's not, as Coach Dooley used to tell me, don't be loose with the basketball. He values it. He's strong with it, and he's an excellent decision maker.
And then J.J. Miles, and 6 out of 7 against Quincy Wilmington tonight. He had another big night, 16 points and 3 for 3. So he's 9 out of his last 10 from beyond the arc.
I think that goes into the work that they're putting in. You know, like I said, it's nothing to do right now but work on your basketball. And you don't even have schoolwork right now. You're on Christmas break, so the only thing you have to do is work on your game, practice, and play games. And you can tell in his game is really showing. Like you said, I think he said he was 6 for 7 against Wilmington. That's hard to do in practice, and he's actually doing it in live game competition.
Yeah, Tony, I was going to say that you guys were talking about earlier that the practices were harder than the actual games, so it probably is easier for them to play the games than to practice right now.
One thing about Coach Dooley, like Neil said, he makes practices harder than what you're going to actually see in the game. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they're scouting these teams. They know what these teams want to do. And they're putting them in situations that they're not realistically going to see in the game. But if you can accomplish tackling it in practice, then when it comes game time, it's going to be that much easier. I'll throw you a prime example. We played George Mason. They tried to get a shot every 7 seconds. So what Coach Dooley would do would have us run a play. He would have a guy out of bounds with the basketball. He would have two guys out of bounds at the free throw line, two guys out of bounds at half court, and one all the way down. As soon as that ball went in, they outletted the ball and was going down trying to score, and we had to try to sprint back and stop them. Now, realistically, in a game, it's not going to happen that way. But if we can do it in practice where we're slowing them down, at least in practice, then when it comes time to the game, we're like, what you guys are doing now is not what we went through for 2.5 hours in practice. So we can figure it out. So he puts you in positions that are tough in practice, but when it comes down to it, it's a game time situation, and you realize what you went through in practice is nothing compared to what you're going to see in the game.
And obviously tonight, guys, with UNF North Florida, they're now 0-7, but they were 0-6 coming in tonight. We knew that they would be a lot better than their record. I think they've lost obviously some talent on the team, and certainly I think it was Florida Atlantic they lost early in the week by 2 points. So they've been competitive in games, just can't find a way to win. But the one thing about this team I'm noticing is that it almost seems like last year you had a lot of injuries last year before preseason. Then you're trying to get 11 new guys to play with Jaden, basically. So it seemed like a COVID year was, for us, was more like last year. And they kind of had like a practice year last year. And now it's adversity, yes, but they're a solid unit. I mean, I can't imagine going through COVID-19 in your college years, much less playing ball. And I always brag about you guys being student athletes, the very fact that that you guys have it rough, because you've got all the weightlifting, all the exercising, and, you know, keeping your body in shape. Then you have, you know, off-season workouts, this, that, and the other. Then you have the actual practices, the games. I don't know how you guys did it. I really don't with the schedule. People don't realize it.
Well, back in our day, we were riding on buses too. We weren't flying private planes. So we'd go up to D.C. and we'd be up there for – we'd play all three teams. So we'd go from James Madison to George Mason to Americans. So we'd be up there for a week, you know, and Anita, and they'd all come on the road with us, and we'd have study hall on the road. And, you know, if we played bad, to talk, get back to Coach Dooley and his practices, if we played bad, say we played at James Madison and played bad, for the 5-6 hour ride home, all we thought about was, is he going to make us practice when we get home at 2 or 3 in the morning? Like, that was a serious concern. And then he would stand up in front of the bus when we pulled up to Minji's after our trip, and he'd say one of two things. You're off tomorrow, go to class, or get your ass in the gym right now. Go to the locker room.
Wow. that's something. Yeah, go ahead.
Kind of aiming on Dave's point as far as for Florida is concerned. They had faced NC State, Florida State, Miami, and Coach Dooley referenced that in his post-game remarks, just saying those guys obviously weren't going to be intimidated whatsoever coming into Minji's tonight. And to be honest, tonight's game went much how I thought it would. I thought it would be a 40-minute game, and it most definitely was that. And Neil, you bring up a good point as far as the bus mileage and hours. North Florida has traveled 3,800 miles so far this season, wow. And 3,100 on a bus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can
minor league baseball team and then some.
Yeah, they're like the Globetrotters. I know that has to take a toll on their body. I mean, just think about it. You're sitting on a bus and you're riding. I remember going to App State up in the mountains. It seemed like it took forever to ride on that bus. I mean, but you're on a bus. Everybody has their own seat, but you're not comfortable. You're not comfortable. You can't really stretch out. So that had to be rough for them. But, you know, like you said, they played some tough teams and played them tough. And like I said before, this season is going to come down, and I hope Coach Dooley just keeps banging this on the head with our Pirates. It's going to come down who is mentally tough. That's what it's going to come down to at the end of the day, because you're not going to have the distractions of 10,000 to 12,000 people yelling at you, trying to distract you. You know, can you generate your own energy? Can you generate your own energy, keep your turnovers down, and do the things that you know that you can do? Because it's a fair playing field across the board right now. You know, and I find a lot of teams that have experience are finding ways to pull games out. I mean, you look at Kentucky. Kentucky has everybody in America on their team, but they're struggling right now because they're young. And you find these mid-major teams that have experience, that have been through the wars, and are pulling games out. And hopefully, like you said, last year it was kind of like our COVID year with the 11 new players and Gardner, that we've been through that. So we're a year ahead of the curve. So right. we know what it's like to go through something tough like that. And this, I'm not saying it should be easy, but it shouldn't bother us like it bothers other people, because we had tough times last year.
And you look at guys, I know you guys have been in the war, so to speak, playing, being former players and nagging injuries and stuff. But you look at Tremont Robinson White, I call him TRW. TRW, he wasn't even 100% last year. And it's amazing the cuts he was making to the basket. And Dooley, I think it was like in February earlier this year, he said, guys, he's only like 80%. I'm like, he's only 80%? But he wasn't even 100% the whole season last year. And our backcourt, we didn't have our backcourt for a long time. And it just goes to show you that the adversity we had last year, and then the chemistry of having 11 new guys trying to get that, you know, guys playing together. I think it's funny. There's a lot of people that don't know the game of basketball, and I'm not an expert on basketball, but I am smart enough to know, just because you're great players, just look at the NBA. You can put professionals together, and you can put some of the best guys in the world together. But if they haven't played together, then that doesn't mean they're going to win a championship just because they're great individually.
Absolutely. And another thing that Coach Dooley's good at is he doesn't need to have the 5-star and the 4-star recruits. He'll take a 2 and a 3 and turn them into a 4 and a 5, you know. And that says a lot about who he is too. And he knew what he was getting into here. And he said that in his, you know, his initial press conference 3 years ago. So, you know, it's coming along. It's looking great. I'd be shocked if we're not in the middle of the pack, you know, conference by the end of the year. That's just my opinion, watching this team and watching how resilient they are and watching what they're going through. So
you're eligible, we found out, for the tournament or for a postseason tournament if you played 13 games. So we've already played 5. We're 5-0. Do you guys see us playing in an NIT? Is that really crazy for me to believe that?
No, it's not crazy. And you're saying NIT.
Yeah, I see.
I'm believing they can go to the dance this year. Just off the simple fact of, like I said, things that are going on. You know, in a normal year, I feel like we probably would struggle with Houston because of, you know, the playing field and the fans and stuff like that. But I believe if we are locked in at every game, I mean, we're gonna have some bumps in the road, but if we are locked in every game, the playing field is even. Yeah, Houston is what, 17th in the country or something like that. But on any given day, Houston can lose. Houston can have a bad game. And a team like East Carolina, who's playing well and all they're doing is building momentum going into games like that, I think they're better suited for the situation, because the pressure is going to be on Houston, not going to be on us. And we're finding ways to, oh, Houston is 7th. Okay. So we're finding ways to win games that we would have lost in the past. And that says a lot right now. So I'm not looking at NIT. I think we can be probably top 5 in the American Conference right now.
You look at the NCAA tournament, historically, the teams that have had success in the tournament, basketball is still a team sport, right? So you get those teams like your Princetons and your Ionas and teams like that get in there that are older teams that have played together, and they don't really have the big superstar type players that demand the ball. They play the offense and they play the game, and they can beat those teams. And that's East Carolina has that this year. It's night and day just turning on the TV and watching them play and the talent and how well they play together and a rebound. And the biggest thing I'm seeing is just the shooting. Take out the fact that they shot 60%, you know, from 3 in the first half at Wilmington. I mean, I think they shot, what, 41% from 3 today. So even that, today they might struggle a little bit. Still, that's better than they've been historically. So they're, you know, they're coming up.
No question about it. And guys, you know, it's one thing to miss shots, but especially in the past, the last couple of years, we've missed shots with wide open shots. I mean, nobody's expecting you, as you guys know, nobody's saying that we expect them to make 100% of their shots. That would be nice, but we're not delusional. But when you have, there's not that many open looks, and when you get the open look, you've got to drain it, right? I mean, you guys are competitors.
Right. And that's, like Neil said, that's the big difference that I see in this team. They're making shots. And you stand, you can beat anybody on any given day as long as you're making shots. But one thing that was always taught to me, and this goes from when I was younger, that defense travels. Your offense might struggle, but if you're locked in on defense and you stop a team from scoring, all you need to do is score one more point than they do. So that's a big thing right there. I think what you see in the second half of games is when they need the big defense to stop, they're finding a way to get it. Now, if they just can be consistent and string together more stops, that'll just build their confidence. Like, hey, you know, we've done it before. We've been in a situation where we put together five or six stops and came down to score four of those five times. So let's start doing it now. So that's what I see. That's what I see in the second half of basketball games now, that they're finding a way to get stops. And this is just a different East Carolina. Like we've been talking about all night. These are games that in the past, historically, we lose. But we're finding ways to win them now.
All right. So, a guy that you know very well, we have post-game audio right above Coach Dooley.
Yeah, and we'll get Coach Dooley's remarks, and let's go to those right now.
Guys, we'll let Coach make a comment, then we'll take questions.
Well, I thought there was a couple spurts where we did some really good things. I thought there was a couple spurts where we didn't pay attention to scout report or do some of the things that we wanted to do offensively. And those spurts were too long. The spurts that we played like we're capable of were too short. We need to get that corrected quickly. And we did make some plays at the end. Almost twisted way. We are getting to work on some special situations at the end of the game. So we've seen some things you might not normally see in practice, which I think will help in the long run. And, we've got some things to correct tomorrow and Saturday and get ready for SMU on Wednesday.
Coach, can you just talk about closing out the final minute strong, especially starting with Brandon's, go ahead bucket on the Trout?
Well, it was a good, guy got on the side of him. He did a good job, a straight line drive. It finished at the rim. We were fortunate. They bobbled the ball, and we were able to get it. And I did think that our defense was a little better the last couple minutes. I believe it was a 12-6 run after we were down one, last 3:44. But Brandon's shot was a big shot, and then a couple back-to-back stops really helped us.
Hey, this is the second game where Jaden Gardner's had some foul trouble. I guess the positive of that is different guys have had to step up at different times. Is that what you can maybe take away from that, from JJ and different guys?
Yeah, that is. And we also need to get Jaden to understand positional defense will not, you won't foul. If you're at the level of the ball or if you stay in front of it or don't reach or don't put, tag it higher. A lot of the fouls are also positional things that if we can tighten that up on his defensive end, he won't foul. And, you're always – I think a lot of times when you're afraid to foul, you foul even more. And I did think that we did have some people step up. I think that Noah and JJ, again, I thought Noah gave us really good minutes. I thought JJ gave us some good minutes. I thought those guys – and I thought Brandon Suggs played well tonight.
Coach, this is some of the best ball movement we've seen from the East Carolina team in some time. You get to the stripe with regularity again tonight. Talk about how things are going for you guys offensively and how you feel about how things are going so far.
I think you're right in one regard. We had 21 assists and 21 assists and 25 field goals. But I count bad shots as turnovers. So we had 8 or 9 shots that there was no reason for us to shoot. So that's the same. I mean, now we had 11, which is a winning number, but that's 20 because of the 9 bad shots. We can't drive into the paint with no game plan and try to shoot the ball through 4 or 5 guys. That doesn't work anytime. So we'll get that fixed. Good shots win games. We took a bunch of ones at the rim. I didn't think we were very good, but the ball has moved better. For the most part, we are unselfish, and our assist turnover ratio is pretty good.
Hey, this week, Coach, with Coach K, obviously got some headlines on kind of his thoughts on where college basketball is at, and it seems like coaches are speaking out. It's the holidays and whatnot. I mean, y'all are playing really well, really well. Where are you kind of at with just resetting? I'm sure you want to play and guys want to play. How do you think things are going from where it's at?
As well as it can go. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic and everything's not normal. I think that I say to our guys all the time, we're making sacrifices, but we're not frontline responders. I mean, we're playing basketball. You've got great medical care. If we want to play, every one of us has a choice whether to be here or not be. You know, these guys, the players can opt out, the coaches can opt out. It's been known to those guys, we've made mention to those guys a number of times, they can do it. And I do think that they are making sacrifices to, you know, about their family, but they're also getting rewarded because they get to play a game that they love. They get the opportunity to play a game that they love. You know, I like our team. I like being around them. It's no fun for some of us on some of these situations. But the flip side is we get to play the game that we want to, play. And, like I'm saying, we're not first responders. We're just playing basketball. You know, it's not that complicated.
Coach, I know that there's always stuff you guys want to clean up as coaches, but 5-0 at this point going in the conference play, I mean, how much does that help the confidence? And where do you kind of think this team is right now?
One of the things in learning how to win is understanding that you can't play the same way every game. That doesn't mean you have the same game plan. It's the same approach. And I think one of the things, and when you're a coach, I think we need to be harder when you're being successful, because the most natural thing to do is to take your foot off the gas a little bit. Now it's time to get better and to be hard. It's when you lose some games that you need to sort of finesse some things. So we need to not worry about, you know, we're five. We need to worry about getting the 1-0 in the American. And now this is past us. Let's go ahead and let's be mature. Let's figure out the things that we didn't do well, some of the things that we see, and let's move on down the road from there and get ready for SMU.
Coach, I was a little surprised about the way North Florida came in here and played as well as they did tonight. How do they compare to some of the teams that you've seen so far, and what was your general take of North Florida?
They'll be a top half, top third of the team in the Atlantic Sun. No disrespect to us, but they've already played at Florida State and NC State and Miami. I mean, I don't think that the fear factor of coming to play the Pirates was you know, like, if I'm them, I'm looking at this is a game we can win. And that's the way you've got to approach it. And for our guys, you have to understand that, you know, when you're in their situation, that's just like, let's get off the snide against these guys. That's the way you got it. And that's the way they did. I thought they played loose. I thought they played with a lot of energy. And, you know, they're used to playing on the road. It doesn't faze them. I think that's impressive.
Coach, you got SMU right out of the gates. This is a team that's probably one of the top tier teams in the league. They're 4-0 right now. You both have a little bit of time to prepare for each other. What do you know about SMU so far?
Unbelievably balanced offensively. Four guys in double figure points. Offensively, very, very efficient. Can score from all five spots. You know, a lot of experience, a lot of juniors and seniors in their lineup. They've been there with Tim for a number of years. I do like their. You know, Shagwa is playing, you know, really well from looking at the numbers and can really score from the backcourt. So the big thing that impresses me is their offensive numbers.
Coach, can you talk about tonight? I know it's an individual stat, but with Jaden Gardner passing, Lester Lyons the fastest to score 1,200 points. I know you're assistant coach under Eddie Payne with Lester Lyons and with Jaden tonight. I know it's got to be a special moment for Jaden, and I know there's a lot of work to do for the team, but a special moment for him.
Now you look back on these things; those are cool deals. I mean, and you know, you look back and you coach Lester and the success he had in his career, and obviously Jaden's success so far. But you know, it's even those are things to look back later. You know, right now we'll worry about that stuff at the end of the season. Let's try to get better and win some games, and worry about all those other things later.
Anybody else, guys?
Thanks, guys. Have a good night. Thanks. Good night.
Coach Joe Dooley, post-game after a big win, a UNF 73-67 Pirates win again. And, guys, I know you played before 1,200 points. Only the Blubbit, that's only the 10th player to do it?
It's not the only – I take that back. It is the 10th player to do it, and now he is at 12-16 and 20 points behind Brock Young, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
Okay. So, and it's still early in the season, so impressive for him. Lester had the record with 74 games. I think he was at 60. I think it was at 68 games tonight he's played in his career. So, a big deal, and I know that's good for our program too to have guys like him, because it is the elephant in the room. He's the guy that helped turn this thing around, and he could have gone anywhere. Lebo recruited him, And then he stuck with Coach Joe Dooley, comes in, made a huge impact early on. Look at the stats on the screen. But for those listening, first 5-0 start since 2012-13. It's the third 5-0 start in modern history. He had 0-2, 0-3, and 12-13. Gardner tops 1,200 faster than any other player we talked about, 10th all-time, with 12-16. Brock Young, 1,232 points. So, guys, Gardner is a guy that has taken this program, helped right the ship, so to speak. And now, but the good thing about him, I've always heard about him. He talked about it with me. We'll talk about him in just a second. But he's a humble guy. He's the first one in, the last one to leave. He's never been arrogant. You know, he's like the star player, but he doesn't act like the star and, you know, special privileges or anything like that. And that's just really refreshing to see, because a lot of times today with SportsCenter and you see all these highlights and these guys, it's a different era, so to speak. And it's good to see a guy that I think is old school, in my opinion, in some respects.
Right. Years ago, our concern was he was going to transfer because he was too good to be at ECU. And right. He immediately came and said, I'm going all 4 years at ECU. And we were like, oh, man, this kid ain't going to stay here. Like, you know, Joe Dooley hit the jackpot when he came here. You couldn't have asked for a better cornerstone player to help make the transition that's going to be here for 4 years. He's going to fly by 2,000 career points. He depending where this program goes, where we all feel it'll go, he's going to go down as – he'll arguably go down as the greatest – basketball player to date at East Carolina. And that talks about your NBA guys, everybody.
And one of the things about Jaden, guys, not that he had he obviously had a very good game tonight, 20 points and 12 rebounds, but he didn't have his A game. You know, he set the bar so high for himself, but even when he doesn't have his A game, he just comes at you and comes at you and finds a way to get it done anyway.
I enjoy watching him play. I mean, he's a blue collar worker. Like, you can tell that nothing is given to him. He goes and takes and gets everything that he wants and that he deserves. You can tell that he's a relentless worker. He's a relentless rebounder, and it seems like he's an excellent teammate. You know, you see him out there talking to his teammates, encouraging them, and things of that nature. But when it comes down to it, they know if they need a basket, who they're going to go to. And more times than not, he finds a way to deliver. I love him. I love watching him play.
Having played his position, and I know we want to get to his audio, but I have so much respect for the kid. He's shorter than I am, you know, and I mean, he's a talented guy. He's got all the talent in the world, but he has that Dennis Rodman sense to him. He knows where the ball's going to come off. He knows how the ball's going to come off the rim. He knows how to get his body right. He knows how to box people out. He's just – he's an outstanding basketball player, and we're dang lucky to have him.
No doubt. And, Bubba, I know that I'll pitch it to you. I know we're going to go to – speaking of Jaden Gardner, we'll go to his post-game audio right now.
Yeah, Jaden had 20 points, 12 rebounds tonight, his 25th career double-double. And let's hear from Jaden right now.
Jaden, another 20-point effort from you tonight. Talk about your team and being resilient down the stretch and finding a way to get your fifth straight win.
It was hard out there tonight. Multiple reasons. I mean, they're a very good team. They play Florida State, they play Miami, play NC State. They're just coming to ECU thinking they're playing another team. So they have all the experience and the confidence, and they played their hearts out tonight. But we ultimately came down and got the W. That's all that matters today.
Jaden, ask Brandon this, but these late game situations, going through those, how much do you think it will help you guys grow and get this experience throughout the season?
It helps a lot, going through late game situations, timely, like, free throw situations. He goes to the line 1-1. You're down by one. He misses the first one. We get a rebound. I knock down two free throws. We go up by three. In late game situations, then we come back and we get a stop. So it's just things to work on that we simulate in practice, but we're now experiencing that in the game. So that's going to –
Can you talk about the fact, I know this doesn't matter to you right now, but maybe down after your career, you actually the fastest player in ECU history to get 1,200 points. You beat a guy now that's the ECU Hall of Famer, Lester Lyons. How does it feel to get that accomplishment?
It's just credited all my coaches. and my teammates throughout my past 3 years, just always finding me. And credit to myself for always working and staying humble. It's a nice accolade to have, and definitely look forward to the future to celebrating that. And farther down the line, hopefully many more. But yeah, it's very cool. I'm very fast, so I'm very humble, and it's a great honor to pass such a great player.
Hey, Jaden, I know at the beginning of the season we asked about what it would be like to play in these empty kind of arenas and whatnot. I mean, y'all obviously are 5-0 and enjoying playing at home. What has it been like now? I mean, y'all have gotten hot, but you've done it without a lot of fans here. I mean, something's working for y'all right at home, even though it's a kind of weird environment.
I mean, it's good. The bench is way more lively than it's ever been. The guys starting defense chants, getting hype at the shots, calling out plays. It's been great for team bonding. And I think it's great that everyone's supportive, and no matter how many minutes you're playing, that everyone has a role in the team and feels like they're in the game. So it's been great and active. And when I've been out, I've been joining them on the bench. So it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling.
You miss the fans, I guess, at all, especially a game like this in Wilmington, yeah, where it's close and overtime, that type thing.
Miss the fans big time. I know they probably sold out dates right now in Greenville. They were able to attend 5-0, coming to watch the Pirates, supporting us. They always love to support us. And we got something for them to see. It's must-see TV right now for the Pirates. Good. Thank you.
Jaden Gardner, post-game comments. Pirates, of course, win 73-67 over UNF, North Florida. And, guys, what can you say? Again, another big game. And, you know, the Wilmington game, if you talk about Monday night, he was Mr. Clutch. He just took over that overtime, took the team on his back. And, you know, even though, like Bubba was saying, what's cool about him, he doesn't have his best game, but yet he finds a way, especially the free throw line. If you foul the guy, he missed his last free throw. But I think – I don't know his actual stats for free throws, but – it's pretty much automatic. He's going to make both of them. You feel confident that he's going to make both of them when he's on the line.
And that's huge that you have, because typically you don't find post players. Sorry, Neil, but you don't find post players that are real good free throw shooters. And right. I find that it's easier to get a basket going to the basket as opposed to trying to set something up to get a jump shot. So being that you can throw the ball into Jaden and let him go to work, one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to make the basket or he's going to get fouled, which is typically an automatic two points from the free throw line. So him making free throws is real big.
Anytime you can mention me in the same sentence as Jaden Gardner, a kid that scored in 2 years more than I scored in four, I'll take it.
Well, certainly the post play, that's something that's with 4 7-footers. We'll talk about that at a later time. But, Bub, I know you got the stats up on the screen.
Yeah, I just thought about the final stats and with us referencing the free throw shooting being so good. Once again tonight, 75% as a team, 18 out of 24. And then you saw North Florida shot them extremely well, very much like you wouldn't see Wilmington, North Florida. And when they went cold from three after a 4-for-6 start, they used those free throws to stay in the ball game, and that really gave them a chance to pull out the road win tonight. But fortunately, it did not happen. And after 4 out of 6 from three to begin the game, they just went 4 out of their next 25, and really, it was only the Burkhart kid that could do anything at all.
I think the thing that stands out to me, if you're sitting there looking at it, you see 25 for 62 for 40%, but 21 assists on 25 field goals. That's excellent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That shows a team that's playing together and sharing the ball.
And against UNC Wilmington guys, I don't remember how many made field goals we had, but we had 24 assists that night, Tony. So two consecutive games where we had very good sharing of the basketball. Now we just have to clean up some of those careless turnovers and some of the bad shots that Coach referenced in his post-game remarks.
Right. Well, like you said, I mean, they're 5 games in, and I'm pretty sure that the practice schedule and things of that nature has been impacted. But the more you get into the season, the more I believe you'll see that the turnovers and things of that nature will cut down because they're starting to get more familiar with each other. But I'm proud of what I see.
There you see some of the individual numbers on Jaden Gardner, 20 and 12, like I mentioned earlier, his 25th career double-double. J.J. Miles, once again, in double figures, 16 tonight, 3 out of 3 from three-point range. Brandon Suggs had a solid all-around game, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And then Noah Farrakhan didn't quite reach double figures, but you know, his buckets were very big. They came at times where North Florida was making runs. And he was 4 out of 6 and 9 points in 16 minutes. And then Tristan Newton had those 8 big assists.
Right. One thing I can say is I believe at some point during the year, I don't know when it's going to happen, but Farrakhan is going to be a big difference in a few of these games coming down. I mean, you know, he's played 16 minutes tonight, but in 16 minutes you got 9 points on 4 of 6 shooting. That's excellent for a freshman that's not starting. He's going to be a difference maker, I think, towards the latter part of this year, because one thing I know just from watching him play in high school, the kid can score the basketball and he's real efficient. And so once he gets acclimated and he just work him into everything that's going on, that's just going to make ECU that much more dangerous.
Tony, a name that I know you recognize, Tony, Adam Zagoria. He really covers college basketball and just basketball in general up in the Northeast. And we had him on when Noah signed with the Pirates. And he had nothing but glowing remarks and just said that, hey, don't let this guy's offensive numbers from the points per game fool you, because you know he's playing on teams that are absolutely loaded, and he's not getting but so many shots.
Right, and that just seeing him play and seeing the talent that was around him, and so seeing how he impacted the game. I mean, it's more than scoring with him. He does all the little things. He gets everybody involved, but you can see at crucial points in the games that he was the difference maker. When they needed a basket, he was the one to go get it. And I just think that being having that confidence on a high school level with a loaded high school team only going to translate better to the college level.
Absolutely. And he's dealing with the COVID situation. You know, it's not a normal situation for him. And, you know, the fact that he's putting up the numbers that he's putting up, and even Coach Dooley made mention of it, that he's really a better shooter than they thought he was going to be as well. So that's just going to continue to improve.
I'm excited about it, guys, because the very fact of Coach Dooley says a lot about him. And I know, Tony, you said the story, how in the world did you get him? It just says a lot about the fact this kid is coming to East Carolina. He was highly recruited. But I think the one thing that I want to get your take on this, and then we're going to go to Brandon Suggs and get his comments. So I'll ask you guys quickly. Back in the day, you know, you have the one bid league like you're talking about. We talked about the exposure that this club is getting now they didn't used to. But now if you're East Carolina, if you're a kid coming out of high school, Joe Dooley can look at you and say, you're going to start, if you don't start, you're going to be like a Noah Farrakhan, where eventually you will start and make a lot of points, you know, with East Carolina. You can come in right now, Greenville, North Carolina, to a big boy league and make a huge difference, where if you're another school, you're going to be sitting on the bench. You might be down the line. It might be a good while before you ever play or even start, for that matter.
I mean, I think that's a big selling point, because a lot of young kids want to come in and they want to play. It's hard for a kid to come in and knowing that you were the top player on your high school team to now you're going into college. It's like you're starting all over and you're not getting many minutes. But what Joe has going on here, and that's a big selling point, because you can look at a kid like Farrakhan and say, look, this kid was a highly rated coming out of high school. He's not a starter, but he plays big minutes for us right now. You can be that next person. So that's how you start building the program and getting people to buy into things that you're doing, because you already have examples of what you're preaching to them when you're sitting down in their living room.
Yeah, all the kids ask for is a chance, and he's going to give them a chance to compete. And, you know, if you can go into their living room and say, hey, I can promise you, if you come into practice, do everything I ask you to do, and you compete in practice, you're going to have a chance to play. And that's really all you can ask for as a kid coming out of high school, especially coming to a school like East Carolina that, you know, plays in the Power Six, and, you know, you're playing Memphis and Houston and all those teams. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for these young kids.
No doubt. Bubba, I know that we're going now to Brandon Suggs' post-game comments.
Yeah, like I mentioned a moment ago, Brandon had his second game of the season in double figures, 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And let's hear right now from the sophomore out of Powder Springs, Georgia.
Well, Brandon, you guys obviously had a tough challenge today from North Florida. Just talk about being able to still make the plays down the stretch when it counted to go out with a victory.
I feel like our team showed a lot of toughness, a lot of resilience. Even though like we were struggling defensively tonight, but we was able to pull enough, get enough stops at the end of the game to get the win.
Your drive and layup, Brandon, gave the TCU its last, you know, lead or kind of lead change in that 5 minutes. At that moment, you know, if you go into the rim and kind of make it happen.
We had a good run. JJ drove it real hard on the wing, forced rotation, and they swung it to my hand. And I just took what they gave me and just got an open layup.
So how surprising was North Florida to you guys tonight as you play a team that's 0-6, they came here and played surprisingly well?
I don't think it was surprising. We knew that they upheld a great shooting to the team. It was just hard to run them off the line. But then we figured out how to get enough stops at the end of the game to just get the wins. We just got the wins automatically.
Brandon, talk about the very fact you're 5-0 now. You really haven't, you guys haven't played, I think you would say, too, with your best basketball yet. And you look up and you're 5-0. Your first conference game, how does it feel to not be playing your best basketball? But you're still winning. Find ways to win.
Yeah, it was good, but it shows that we got a lot to work on still. Like, we can't get comfortable with winning. We still got to figure out, work on our bad points, just get better for next week. We know conference coming up, so we know it's going to be a harder challenge. So we're just trying to stay undefeated.
Brandon, these late-game situations you guys are in, back-to-back games, how much does this kind of pay dividends and get you guys experience down the road for games similar to this?
Yeah, it gave us a lot of experience, especially from last year, because last year, like as y'all know, we lost a lot closer than the game because we was a young team. We didn't know how to finish, but it's kind of good that we're going through this now so we can learn how to win at the end of the games. Y'all good?
All right, Brandon Suggs here. Big win again for the Pirates, 73-67 over UNF. And, guys, the next game is Wednesday night. So just we're going to wrap this thing up in a second. But knowing you guys both know Coach Dooley, what do you think he's going to be doing between now and obviously they leave on Tuesday is a travel day. It's a quick turnaround, really, for fans. They don't realize, but this is a really quick turnaround for when you got your first conference game. It's on the road, and you only have a few days before you leave.
Well, just knowing Coach, he's already been preparing them for some things that SMU already do. He's already done different type of drills, put them in different situations that they're going to see at SMU without them even knowing. And now that they're past North Florida, they can start focusing in on SMU, but it won't be as tedious and hard because they've already been planning for them without them even knowing.
I'm sure they ran some sets and some plays in tonight's game in situations that they may not have run had they not had SMU, you know, next week. So he's probably was trying some stuff and doing some things defensively and offensively tonight. You could hear from his post-game comments. He's already talking about their length and, you know, the skills and sets that they have. So he's ahead of the game. It's going to be a tough week of practice. He's going to focus everybody. He's going to remind them, yeah, you're 5-0, but you haven't accomplished anything. All he cares about is 1-0 right now in the American. That's all he cares about.
And how do we win the game? What are your keys to victory for both of you? And we'll put a graphic and get out of here.
we got to rebound well. We got to continue to shoot well. And like Tony said, defense travels. SMU is a big boy team. But we can go in there and we can compete with them. You know, we saw that the first year, 2 years ago, Dooley's first year, we really came out and I think we got blown out in the first half. I may have it flipped, but and then we competed either the first half or the second half. We just got to put a whole game together. We're 5-0. We can all agree we have not played a complete game. Now it's time to go out and do it.
I think the keys to me is going to be sharing the basketball, but biggest thing is cutting down on the turnovers, and focus on getting defensive stops.
All right. And by the way, before I forget, can we call you Pops or Anil? Congratulations for being a grandpa. Now I forgot to, I've been waiting all this time and I was going to say it early on in the show. And I just realized we're getting ready to get out of here. Congratulations on being a grandpa. And what can we call you now from now on?
I'm Pappy. That's my name. I'm a Pappy. So, yeah, I'm a Pappy. So it's great. You forget. I'm like, you know, I don't know how I raised all my kids. You forget how hard it is to have a baby. You know, you're like, holy cow. Even you held them for 10 minutes. You're like, man, how did I do this? So you forget real fast. But it's a true joy. Being a grandparent's a true joy because you can enjoy them and give them back.
I want to say congratulations, but I was about to say that if you didn't, you can always enjoy the baby, but at the end of the day, you know, you can always give them back.
Yep.
All right. Bubba, we'll put that graphic I know you have up here, and game is coming up next Wednesday night, 8:00. Again, guys, another game on the ESPN network, again on ESPN Plus, our very first conference game, and good luck to the Pirates on the road as they leave again on Tuesday, travel down to Dallas to take on SMU, the Mustangs. So good luck to the Pirates. And I just want to give Tony and Neil, you guys mean a lot to us. Thank you so much for everything you did for Pirate basketball. It feels so good. I can't wait to go to work tomorrow. You know, it's something about I feel so much lighter now to all the wins, and people say, hey, your Pirates won. It's kind of refreshing now with Pirate basketball to have that great feeling at the water cooler, so to speak.
Right. I it's probably been a long time for you, but you can go to the water cooler and get your water and proudly say that you're the best school. You're the best team in North Carolina right now.
That's right.
Thank you guys for everything you do for the university, not just for the basketball team, for all the sports. You guys put in, you know, you, Bubba, you guys all put in a ton of time behind the scenes and trying to, you know, set stuff like this up. And you know, you guys have really invested in this too. So, you know, you guys are helping make ECU what ECU is going to be as well.
We enjoy this labor of love. And Bubba is the guy that I created a monster. I'm a guy that's produced radio for a long time and a DJ and a host, and I've done it all. And he asked me, I'll tell you the story real fast. He asked me, how do you do it? He said, how do you do it? How do you get all the guests? I said, it's very simple. It's numbers game. What's that?
No.
He said, I said, it's the numbers game. I said, it's like asking a girl on a date. If you want a date for Friday or Saturday night, you got to ask a whole bunch of girls out and hope that one or two of them will say yes. And that's the same thing with booking a show, is that you hope that you get the Tony Parms, the Neil Punts on the show, and we went 100% tonight. So, gentlemen, thank you so much. It means a lot, and I hope you guys will come back on overtime. And I know we may have gone overtime with you guys, but a very special night in Pirate basketball history.
I enjoy myself, and anytime you guys need me on, I'm more than welcome to come on.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
No doubt. Bubba, thank you very much, and thanks to all that you do, my friend. I'll let you close out the show.
I really don't have anything else. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you guys coming on. Love talking Pirate basketball with you, and we'll certainly have you back on down the road this season.
Sounds great.
All right. Well,
sounds great,
guys. We'll have a great weekend and enjoy it, and certainly we'll have our preview coming up early next week. Until the meantime, you've been watching and listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.